You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. It is so great to be with you again this morning as we come around the God's Word and His truth for our hearts and our lives. When my younger sister Naomi and I were teenagers, my dad thought it would be a great idea for us to have some tennis lessons, and out of that, we then had a season of tennis. We both wanted to win, but we both had very different approaches and tennis styles. My sister Naomi had a really good forehand, but she would hit the ball so hard that sometimes it would go out. I, on the other hand, didn't hit it as hard and was more consistent in my playing. Therefore, I won more games. Well, that's my recollection of events. It wasn't because I was a better player, but just more consistent. But it didn't stop the fact that we both wanted to win our games. And even though I can say I'm not that good at it, I did enjoy that time of playing tennis. But there is a way where we can all win. God has called us to run a race. And in this race, we have been given purpose and hope. God wants us to win and succeed in the plans He has for us and in the course He has set out for us. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 25, it says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. There will be moments of hard work in the race. There may be times you want to give up, but with God's help and encouragement, we can do it." Paul was able to confidently say in 2 Timothy, "I have finished the race. I have stayed faithful, remained on track. In the ups and the downs, I've held fast to God." Here was a man who had incredible ups and downs in his journey. He had many trials and afflictions, as well as joy. I'm sure there were times of laughter. I'm sure there was time of tears. And I'm sure there was times where it just was not easy in the race that God had for him. But he was able to hold fast to God with the strength and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He knew God's word to be true, and that held him through all the times that he went through. This morning, we can do it and we can succeed. In Hebrews 12:1, it says this: "As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon's race with passion and determination. For the path has been already marked out before us." We have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Men and women who've gone before us to encourage us with their journeys of their race and their faith in God. Moses, Joseph, Mary, David, Abraham, and Sarah, just to name a few. What would these mighty men and women of God who've gone before us and run their race, what would they say to us? What would their encouragement be? I'm sure they would say to us, "You can run your own race." We all have our own race to run. And when we know it and run it, it brings fulfillment and enables us to run with passion and determination. They would say to us this morning, "You can lay aside every wound." If there is something that has caused a wound in our lives, God doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to run in freedom, not to be weighed down or to be limping, but to run with great, powerful strides. And I'm sure they would say to us this morning, You can keep going. The past is not irrelevant, but it doesn't need to determine our today and our tomorrow. There are areas in our past and present that may be weighing us down, but we can keep going because we have this incredible encouragement and the demonstration of God's mighty, powerful ability from those cloud of witnesses who, despite their crises, despite their ups and downs, despite their good times and their hard times, they trusted God and they triumphed. They are our living testimony. They are our encouragement this morning. They are our hope to see what God can do in our hearts and our lives in this race that we're all running. Holy Spirit is with us and encourages us to do our best. Despite what we might think, we haven't been disqualified. God loves us too much. He loves you too much. And this morning, I want to have a look at the life of Jonathan. When we first read about Jonathan in 1 Samuel 13, he is with King Saul, who's actually his father, and he's with the army of men. And his dad at this time has been king for about 2 years. You know, Jonathan was part of the army, and he was very courageous and very strong. He was a good leader, and the men supported and stood up for him. He was also very loyal. And he loved God. He was just a good man. We see his bravery and we see his trust in God in 1 Samuel 14, 16 to 14. He and his armor bearer went over to the Philistine outpost, but Jonathan didn't let his father know what he was doing. This shows that the Lord was with Jonathan and that Jonathan trusted God and was willing to step out to see the enemy defeated. This was a daring move on his behalf, to go out with his armor bearer, to not let his dad know what he was doing, but to step out and see what he could do to see if the enemy would be defeated. In verse 6, we pick up the story. It says, "Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans," Jonathan said to his armor bearer. "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few." And isn't that the truth? "Do what you think is best," the armor bearer replied. "I'm with you completely, whatever you decide." "All right then," Jonathan told him. "We will cross over and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Stay where you are, we'll kill you,' then we'll stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up and fight,' then we will go up. That'll be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them." When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, "Look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes." Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, "Come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson." "Come on, climb up right behind me," Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "for the Lord will help us defeat them." So they climbed up using both hands and feet under the Philistines, fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, killed those who came behind him. They killed some 20 men, and all their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. We can see Jonathan's bravery and trust in God in this situation. So if that's the case, what would Jonathan say to us? I reckon he would say to us, "You can trust God as you run your own race." We can choose to be happy. We can choose to be comfort and settled in the course that God has set out for us. We all handle things differently. That's the truth. But you know what? Your race is unique to you. My race is unique to me. And we don't need to compare or wish for someone else's race. And there will be ups and downs. There will be times of triumph and there will be times of difficulty. There will be pain, there will be tears, and there will be laughter, but there will always be God with us, helping us through. What do we do when your course changes and it wasn't what you were expecting? What do you do when it wasn't you who caused the change to happen? You know, Jonathan was the king's son and therefore the rightful heir to the throne. He was also great friends with David and very loyal to him. But then this happened. In 1 Samuel 13, 13 to 14, it says, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" Due to Saul's decision to do Samuel's job instead of waiting for him for that little bit longer for him to come, God took the throne from his family line. Can you imagine what Jonathan would have thought when this happened? Can you imagine his response to what Samuel had just said to his dad? His dad's bad decisions in not following the Lord changed what should have been for his life. And I'm sure he was initially upset about this, hurt and potentially angry, because I know I would have been. When you think there is a certain course you're on and suddenly it all changes, and not of your own doing, it leaves you feeling unsettled and it leaves you feeling unsure of your next steps. God, I wasn't expecting this detour. God, this is not what we had in our plans. This wasn't a part of my race. What's going on? I didn't see this in the roadmap of my life. Lord God, suddenly everything has changed. Everything is in upheaval. I'm feeling unsettled. I'm feeling unsure. Lord God, what is happening in my race? And maybe you have experienced something like this on your journey. Something that you thought was going to happen in your race and it didn't turn out like that. Circumstances changed beyond your control. Situations arising out of left field, which you just didn't even see coming. How do we handle this? Lord God, how do we handle this detour in our race? How do we handle the emotions we are now feeling because of this detour? You know, what do you do when the Holy Spirit shows you that because of this other person's decision or the circumstances that are beyond your control that have caused this detour, now you find yourself in a wilderness? How do we handle this? Where is the path to get me back on track? Lord God, I'm walking, I'm running my race, but where is the path to get me back on track? I can't see where to go. Where are you, Holy Spirit? I need you. I need your guidance. I need your assurance. I need your truth. As you cry out to him, Lord God, what do I do? Holy Spirit, where do I turn? Then suddenly you hear his voice. You hear his truth. I will make a road in the wilderness for you. I will make a path that you can see clearly. You can keep trusting me. You can keep your eyes focused on me. Then the haze that is in front of you as you're walking down your path, as you're walking in the wilderness, the haze suddenly starts to get clearer and clearer and clearer. I think I can see the road. I can trust in you, Almighty God. I can hold on to you. You do what you say. You do make a path in the wilderness for me. This detour may have tried to set me off my course, but Lord God, I know that you have me, and I know that your words of truth will guide me to the path that you have for my life. He is a lamp unto our feet, and he is a light unto our path. He is our road in the wilderness, and we can trust him as we turn to him during these times of detours. He is with us. God is with you and I, and we can trust him. It may seem confusing, but God's ways are perfect. Wait on him. Listen to his voice of truth, and he will bring comfort and direction into your situation. What does Jonathan do when he's faced with this crisis? What does Jonathan do when he is faced with this detour? He recognized David's coming promotion, and instead of getting upset or jealous about it and trying to secure his own place in history as the king, which he potentially could have tried to do like his father, he didn't side with his dad's tactics or manipulation. Instead, he stepped aside and he ushered in David by protecting him and encouraging him. He realized that being king was no longer his race to run, but being a great leader, being an armor bearer, and showing bravery and loyalty was his race. That time in the wilderness and the road out of the wilderness showed him his true purpose, his true race, and his true calling that came from Almighty God. Your true purpose from God is the only thing that will truly satisfy you in your race with God and with him. Jonathan was secure in who he was in God. He understood that God's ways are perfect, and he had to just keep trusting him during this time, and that God had his best interests at heart. Jonathan wanted, and this is amazing, Jonathan wanted David to fulfill God's plan for his life. You know, Jonathan would say to us this morning, that's what we can do for each other as the body of Christ. We can encourage each other in our own races and protect what God has given to each of us. We can come around, we can encourage one another, and we can protect what God has given each one of us to do in our race. You know, great strength comes from knowing our own race and running it with passion and determination and confidence in our God. Great strength comes from trusting God in the wilderness. He will get you through. And if you are not sure what God has for you, all you need to do is ask him. He will tell you his purpose and plan for your life because he is a good God. What would Jonathan say to us this morning? Lay aside every wound and wait. If there is anything that has caused a wound in our lives, God wants us to give it to him so we can run in freedom. Not to be weighed down or limping, but to run with great, powerful strides. It will mean working on areas in our lives that have become wounds in our hearts, working on emotions that have weighed us down. God does not want us to be weighed down with the past, with trauma, with disappointment, with anxiety. He doesn't want wounds caused by the past, bad decisions that have been made, disappointments we may have gone through to continue to sway our current decisions and our outcomes. The Holy Spirit will walk you through the process of healing, and he will be with you every step of the way. His wisdom and his guidance and his truth will be your strength and your encouragement. We have to learn to receive healing. We have to learn to lean on the Holy Spirit to lead us through this process because he wants freedom for our hearts and lives. He wants us to walk in our true purpose and our true calling and run our race without any limps, without anything stopping us from what God has set out before us. We can lean on the Holy Spirit. We can trust that he will help us and he will guide us and lead us. Look at Jonathan, the wounds from the situation he went through with his father. Jonathan could have allowed the situation of not being king. He could have allowed what his dad was like to cause wounds in his heart, which would have weighed him down with a negative emotions and negative outcomes and reactions. He was still affected by his father's decisions. Let's not forget that. But he made some tough decisions. I'm sure he loved his dad, but didn't want the wounds to control his race. Saul was very insecure and he allowed it to become a wound in his life. And that made Saul become very unpredictable. You know, it's very hard to deal with someone who is unpredictable in their emotions and their behavior, as you just won't know what you're going to get from day to day, from moment to moment, from time to time. And this was Jonathan's father. This is what he had to deal with. This is who he had to potentially look up to. This man that was king, that was his dad, who had suddenly allowed this wound of insecurity to control the way he acted and he responded. And he became so unpredictable. And this was the person that Jonathan was meant to look up to, the man that he loved because it was his dad. And suddenly he had to make some tough decisions so that those wounds wouldn't impact his journey and his race. He could have sided with his dad, but Jonathan didn't allow his dad's insecurity or foolishness to sway him. And he definitely didn't allow it to become a weight in his journey and with his heart. You know, strength of the Holy Ghost. We can never underestimate the strength of the Holy Ghost in our journeys, in our race, and in our lives. He is vital to us succeeding in our race. In the battle of your life, you need the Holy Spirit. Just like in the natural, when Jonathan went to the Philistine outpost, he needed the Holy Spirit for that battle. And he needed him now with the situation that he was going through with his dad. The battle to not be swayed by his father, but to stay true to his race and calling. He allowed God to speak healing and truth into his heart and allowed God to direct his path. You know, in fact, Jonathan does the very opposite of what his father was doing. Instead of trying to chase David down and to kill him, he actually strengthens David in the Lord. Jonathan did not let his wounds set his course, but God's healing, truth, and strength to set his course. In 1 Samuel 23, 16 to 17, it says, "Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, 'Do not fear the hand of Saul, my dad, my father. He shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you.'" What a great statement of trust and faith in God. Despite his situation, he was able to strengthen David in the Lord and encourage him at that time. "David, you've got this. David, the Lord is with you. David, I am with you." Greater authority came in Jonathan's life because he knew his race and he could strengthen others then in their race. What a great man of God. This may remind you of a parent or a caregiver in your life who was unpredictable, and it may have left you feeling insecure and unsure, not understanding where you stood with that person. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is not like that at all. He is your loving Heavenly Father who wants the best for you and will encourage you to succeed and live a life of freedom and joy. Healing is for you. Healing and God's peace and freedom is for you this morning. You know, you might feel like you've got a wound that won't close. You can forget about it for a time, but then it's like it rears its ugly head time and time again. This morning, allow God to heal you. Ask him to receive his healing for you. "God, I receive your healing. I don't want this wound to be with me anymore. Help me, Holy Spirit. Show me what I need to do." Let go of every wound. I know it's hard, but as we talk to the Holy Spirit and we declare, "By your stripes, I am healed," his word will never return void to your situation. It may not happen when you think, but the good news is his word will never return void. And by his stripes, you are healed this morning. Jesus was nailed to the cross and he took all your pain, all your suffering, all your trauma and shame, disappointments, fears and anxieties was nailed to the cross so that you and I could walk in freedom. Freedom to be who you are, who God has called you to be. Freedom to run your race with confidence and assurance, not distorted, but with clear vision of who you are in Christ. Will it be hard? Yes. But will it be worth it? Absolutely. The good news is the Holy Spirit is with you all the way. You didn't need to go looking for things. He will prompt you, he will lead you, and he will guide you on the path of freedom. This morning, run your race with confidence of who you are and who's got you. You know, Jonathan would say this to us this morning, keep going. The past is not irrelevant, but it doesn't need to determine your today and your tomorrow. His father's actions didn't disqualify Jonathan, and he certainly wasn't going to allow the past to affect his today. It wasn't easy, but he trusted God. You know, there was a guy called Roy Riggles, and he was playing an American football game in 1929. And he was the defender for his team, which was the Georgia Techs. He made a spectacular play in which he forced and recovered the same fumble. He then took off toward the end zone, but in the midst of the confusion, he got turned around. He was running toward the wrong end zone. Fortunately, his own teammates were able to run him down and stop him. He said, "I was running toward the sidelines when I picked up the ball. I started to turn to my left towards the other team's goal. Somebody shoved me and I bounded right off into a tackler. In pivoting to get away from him, I completely lost my bearings." After the play, Regals was so distraught that he had to be talked into returning to the game by his coach for the second half. Roy said to his coach, "I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined myself. I've ruined the University of California. I just can't face the crowd. I just can't do it." Coach responded by saying to him, "Roy, get up and go back out there. The game is only half over." Regals did play and he turned in a stellar second-hand performance. You may feel like Roy, "I can't do it. I can't keep going." But I want to encourage you, you can, with the Holy Spirit by your side. Keep going no matter what has happened. You won't be disqualified. God's grace, love, and mercy is with you and is for you. The race is only half over. Your second half is full of promise and fulfillment of joy. There is a great cloud of witnesses encouraging us to keep going. There is people around you to support you and encourage you. And we have the mighty Holy Spirit working on our behalf. Jonathan would say, "Keep going. You've got a great race in front of you. Keep your eyes fixed on him because he is for you and not against you." Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up." And that's your prayer for you this morning, that you will run and not get grow weary, that you'll be able to turn to God, rely on his strength as you run this race, allowing wounds and weights to be put aside and walking and running in the freedom that God has for you. Bless you this morning. I just want to pray as we come to an end, and I want to encourage you that your race is only half over and the best is yet to come in your life and your race with God. Lord God, we just pray for people this morning. And out there, you may be listening and you may feel like you've been disqualified. But this morning, God wants to encourage you that he is for you. He is not against you. That his love and his mercy is with you. And Lord God, for anyone that might be experiencing wounds in their heart right now, I just pray that the mighty Holy Spirit will come around and just speak peace and direction and truth into their hearts and lives. Lord God, you are for us. Lord God, you want us to succeed. Lord God, you have a great purpose and plan and calling for each one of us. And we turn to you. We look to you as we run this race that you have set before us. And we, Lord God, allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and lives, to give us the truth, the direction that we need. In the name of Jesus, amen.